All right, we're back talking a little Baylor and Big 12 college football. Bryce Cherry alongside Jason Ortz and John Werner with Chris Oliver, man in the turntables. Guys, Baylor's offense pretty much looked like Baylor's offense last Friday night against SMU in the season opener. Seth Russell threw 5 touchdown passes. Bears actually set a school record, averaged 10.7 yards per play, had a lot of big plays, and they score 56 points. But it also wasn't all sunshine and lollipops for the Bears. You know, this was a game until late in the third quarter. Give me one thing you could take from this game that Baylor should feel good about going forward, and also maybe an area of concern.
Well, I'm going to say if you were the Texas Longhorns and you had 723 yards total offense, you'd be pretty excited.
Right. You wouldn't find much to complain about.
Yeah. But if you're Baylor, there were some things. One of the things I really liked was their run game balance.
Mm-hmm.
They used 4 backs. Nobody had more than 12 carries. And they all looked good.
Now, yeah,
part of that might have been SMU's defense. But I think that's going to keep everybody fresh going into the Big 12. Now, I expect Shocklin would run a lot more than 8 times a game.
Yeah.
But I think that's Coach Brawl's plan, is just kind of keep them fresh. Now, on the negative side, to me, the biggest worry was Seth hitting 15 of 30 passes. Now, Art thought it was 24 of 30.
Yeah.
He admitted he was a little bit off after the game. But, I mean, at the same time, he did throw for 376 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Right.
But I think that's something they've got to work on, because when they play a good team, I mean, those completions are going to be really important, because they got to keep the ball moving. And, I think he probably needs to be closer to the 70% completion percentage than 50.
Right.
Well, you know, kind of piggybacking on what Johnny said about, what to feel good about. I mean, the fact that you score 56 points, you have 700 yards of total offense. I mean, I don't really care who you're playing. Those are pretty impressive numbers, especially going on the road. You don't always know exactly what's going to happen in those situations. I mean, it's just kind of a weird thing to do sometimes. I think I would also feel good about some of the defensive adjustments that were made, obviously shutting them down in the second half, not allowing SMU to kind of continue to hang in and keep up with them. And I think, you know, Coach Briles mentioned that, you know, there's not a lot of film on a Chad Morris coached SMU team. So that kind of makes it hard to know exactly what you're going to get coming out. I think they kind of struggle with that from the beginning. And really, I thought SMU's quarterback played a heck of a game there for a long time. He did a heck of a job in there for a while too. So, you know, and I think that's all stuff you can feel good about. You know, you kind of drew a bead on what they were doing defensively. If I am concerned about anything, which I'm really not, I guess, coming out of that game, it's just, you know, kind of really I'm more concerned about, okay, are they going to be able to get guys back, you know, from suspension and all that kind of stuff and, you know, re-implement them. But I really don't think that's going to be a huge concern. But you just never know. It's kind of been a weird summer. You just kind of hope that stuff doesn't really continue.
I will mention a couple areas of concern. And you guys hit on the good stuff, I mean, that you can take away from this game. And I certainly think Jason makes a good point about the adjustments that Baylor made. I mean, because SMU, you know, was just, they start out like a house of fire, and it looks like it's going to be, you know, 61-58 or something at the end of the game. How about that score? but, you know, I thought there were some things that Baylor did in that game against SMU that really reared their ugly head time and time again last year and cost Baylor in its 2 losses, and those were, you know, bad play in the secondary, occasional bad play. They did get better as the game went on, I thought. Some poor tackling. There really was some poor
especially
tackling
at the start.
Yeah, especially at the start. And then penalties. And, you know, we saw penalties kill Baylor against West Virginia. You know, after 1 week, they're dead last in the country in penalties. Now, I went back and looked, and they were dead last year. They were dead last in 2013, and they won the Big 12 championship both years.
You ought to write a story about that.
I really ought to pick up a trib on Thursday or WacoTrib.com. But Yeah, so, I mean, it is, I think, a byproduct a little bit of how fast Baylor plays the game. If you look at some of the other schools down in the rankings and penalties, it's like Texas Tech and Oregon and those type schools. And then you look at who's up at the top, Army, Navy, Air Force. I mean, disciplined, slower-paced offenses. So, you know, I do think Baylor needs to clean those penalties up some because you know, those will hurt them in close games. Obviously, this week, it shouldn't be a close game. Lamar doesn't really figure to offer much of a fight. What is the biggest benefit to a blowout game, or is there a benefit?
I think we're going to see a lot of Jarrett Stidham in this game.
Yeah, I think so. And he looked pretty good in his two passes.
Yeah, I would expect him to play the whole second half. I mean, mm-hmm. if things go right in the first half and – you're right. He looked pretty good.
Yeah. 42-yard
touchdown on his first pass. But yeah, you know, just playing a lot of subs. They especially need some backups to get some experience. So I think that's a big thing.
Well, I guess you know, we like stats, so mm-hmm. you know, you get a chance to pad your stats mm-hmm. a little bit if you're a team. But you know, and I think like John just kind of touched on a little bit. You know, you can expect everybody to get a chance to get in there and play. I mean, whether it's Jarrett Stidham or, you know, the second string deep snapper or, mm-hmm. you know, the third string, you know, defensive lineman who might not get in, to the towel boy, the water boy, the drum major, just put them all in,
right.
You know, in the second half of a game like that. Who knows? You know, I think that's probably the biggest thing, though, is you do just get everybody a little bit of game experience, because even if you're not playing a great team, the game's going to move a little bit faster than it will even in practice, even if you're going against, you know, good players in practice every day.
You mentioned second string deep snapper. I mean, they've got a Heisman candidate at deep snapper in Jimmy Landis. Hashtag Jimmy Landis for Heisman. How do you pad your stats if you're a deep snapper? Mm-hmm. It's a tough one, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, more extra points, more field goals.
Well, there you go. Yes.
More good snaps.
More good snaps. Yeah, okay.
Or if something gets blocked, you go make a tackle maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a few things you can do there.
Yeah, he can do the Ray Lewis thing too.
Right,
rips open the jersey.
Yeah,
he's multi-talented.
We don't have a vodcast, so you couldn't really see me do that, people. But you know, I'm surprised neither one of you guys as sports writers hit on this. But this a blowout game is good for us a lot of times because it allows us to write at halftime and, you know, get a lot done earlier in the game. It's not coming down to the wire, so.
Hoping to see a lot of running in the second half.
Yes, that would be nice.
Keep the clock going.
Certainly, certainly. So, as far as the league goes, Big 12, the one marquee matchup in the conference last weekend, Notre Dame went out and drilled Texas 38-3. I mean, it was never really close at all. This week, the top game on the schedule has Oklahoma traveling to Tennessee. So how much does the conference need the Sooners to win this game, since there really aren't that many opportunities for signature wins out there?
I think it's really huge for the conference, and I think OU is going to win this game. I mean, it's hard to tell, you know, what they did against Akron, but I think Baker Mayfield is going to be pretty good this year, and I'm just expecting a good season for them. And, you know, I don't think Tennessee is not one of they're not one of the premier teams in the SEC. So I think this is a really good shot. And, you know, I think the Big 12 does need kind of a non-conference shot in the arm right now.
You did see that our resident Sooner fan in the house, Steve Boggs, our editor, already complaining about Zach Sanchez. He's already in mid-season form and is complaining.
He does not like him.
No, he doesn't.
I want to go ahead and first start out by pointing out that Texas State outscored Texas last week in games against top caliber opponents.
Maybe we should kick the Longhorns out and bring the Bobcats in.
On that note, no, I think John's right. I really do think that that Oklahoma really needs to win this game for the Big 12. I mean, obviously, conference perception is a huge deal in getting into the college football playoff, trying to have somebody in there. And Baylor is obviously one of those teams that wants to get in. TCU wants to get in. You know, Oklahoma really probably wants to have a shot to get in there. You know, and you have to have some of these wins like this, obviously, especially if you're not going to be able to run the table in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. I think you need a win like this on your resume. And You know, and also, you know, Oklahoma, I don't know how good Tennessee really is this year. I don't think anybody really does yet. But, you know, it's a good, if nothing else, it should be a heck of an atmosphere up there. You know, it's a tough road venue to play. And so they should, you know, it should be a pretty impressive win should they get it. So, yeah, and I think you just have to have it. I just don't think you can get anywhere without it.
I don't think it matters as much when if Iowa State goes out and loses to Iowa this week or, you know, Kansas losing to South Dakota State last week. I mean, that's obviously not a marquee game at on any level. But these teams at the top to middle of the Big 12, that when they get these shots against legit, you know, Power 5 teams, they need to take advantage of those shots because, like we said, there really aren't that many out there. And I do think going forward in this college football playoff era, you know, I think the Big 12 really just kind of needs to institute a mandate that says, look, you've got to have one Power 5 team on your non-conference schedule.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, yeah.
It's, you know, it's just more interesting for everyone, you know, including fans, players, you know. I mean, obviously it's going to make it tougher to, like Jason said, to run the table. But man, you know, you can lose a game and get in if you have a strong enough non-conference schedule. So let's get back to the Longhorns if we must. You know, they're a hot mess for sure. After just one game, you know, yesterday, Charlie Strong demotes Sean Watson and Joe Wickline from their co-offensive coordinator position. He promotes receivers coach Jay Norvell as the new play caller. You know, this is, like I said, after one game. Any chance this clears up any of Texas's issues?
No, like you said, I think they're in a hot mess for sure. I mean, let's look at this. Jay Norvell, he was the co-offense coordinator at OU. He just got fired from there.
Right.
And now he's Texas's offensive coordinator.
That's how bad they're – that's how desperate they are.
I mean, I think they're kind of in a panic situation right now. And they've got two – I mean, we really haven't seen anything from Swoops in 2 years. And, you know, Gerard Hurd, who knows? I mean, he's a freshman. Who knows what he can do this year? Mm-hmm. To me, he's probably more skilled as a runner right now anyway. So
let's just put it like this. Vince Young is not walking through that door. Colt McCoy is not walking through that door. I mean, unless Jay Norvell can play quarterback, you know.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like they're going to have to win like some 14-10 games. And how many 14-10 games do you see in the Big 12?
Not many.
I was watching something earlier on ESPN, and they were talking about this move. And, you know, everybody, you know, talks about Tyrone Swoops and Gerard Hurd and, you know, whether they can get it going and everything. But, you know, Trevor Maddich, I believe it was, made the point that, you know, they've got four returning starters on the offensive line this year, and those guys can't block. So I think unless, you know, you get those guys going, you're going to have a hard time getting your quarterback or any kind of offense going at all. And, you know, it's kind of funny going back to Big 12 Media Day. You know, one of my friends that works in the Baylor Sports Information office said he was talking to one of Baylor's players up there, and they saw, you know, one of Texas's offensive linemen walking by, and they were like, you know, who's that guy? Is he like some, you know, young guy that they're bringing up? They're like, no, that guy's a senior. He's been there for 4 years.
Wow.
And they're like, wow, that's what a Texas lineman looks like these days. You know, it's a big difference from what we saw just a few years ago in the kind of talent that they have over there.
Yeah, things have changed drastically, and Charlie Strong certainly wasn't dealt a great hand. I mean, he's only in his second year, so I mean, I feel like you do have to give him some time. But yeah, they're losing on the recruiting trail. They're losing obviously on the field, and you know they've got to do something to just pump some life into that offense. I mean, that's the biggest problem for sure. Did want to throw y'all one little off the map here question. So last week, John and I were there. We saw it live in person. I'm sure Jason got some of the Twitter reaction from it. But Laquan McGowan lines up as an up back on the kickoff return team. I mean, you know, you got your back guys, and then he's right in front of them. So a short kick, it might happen where Laquan McGowan, 410 pounds, has got the ball coming down on a kickoff return. How cool would that be? And, you know, I mean, what other ways can we use Laquan McGowan to create excitement for the Baylor Bears?
I actually think he could run over 11 guys on a play.
Nobody wants to get in front of that guy.
I think he has that capability. In fact, I think they ought to make him one of the back guys.
The back guys.
Just
okay.
to see what happens.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's going to happen. I mean, and there's going to be a short kick if they leave him at up back.
I think if you're a defender in a situation like that, aim low would be right. would be the mantra. Yeah, try to go low. Don't try to hit him high. He will run through you. Hey, why not try him at quarterback? You know, short yardage type situation. You know, put him under center and just let him bowl over somebody. I think that'd be a lot of fun to see. We haven't seen that from him. He did catch a pass, obviously, for a touchdown in the Cotton Bowl last year. But I've been calling for it for a few years, either at quarterback or line him up in like they used to do with the fridge. Put him in a fullback
player.
Or, you know, running back. Whatever, you know, down on the goal line, short yardage, whatever, let him run over somebody.
You know, Art Briles, he's very inventive when it comes to trying things. He doesn't really care about convention so much. And, it'll be interesting to see how they use Laquan. I said it on Twitter, I don't know if I can say the actual word on the podcast, but I guess I can. If he actually gets the ball on the kickoff, all hell is going to break loose. I mean, it's going to be – the internet will blow up and Twitter will catch fire. And, you know, I mean, it'll be crazy. I'm hoping that it happens, like, this week because I want to see it. But I'm with you, Jason. Let's put him down at the goal line. I thought some of their best running plays the other day, and it makes sense, was when he was lined up at tight end. I mean, obviously, the guy is – a lineman, you know, basically. So,
well, and he's bigger than any other lineman.
Certainly bigger than those ones at Texas, as Jason pointed out. So.